And now, Chapter 10, The Liberation of Balbal and Lord Balaram's Touring the Sacred Places. Lord Balaram prepared himself to meet the demon Balbal. At the time when the demon usually attacked the sacred place, there appeared a great hailstorm. The whole sky became covered with dust, and the atmosphere became surcharged with a filthy smell. Just after this, the mischievous demon Balbal began to shower torrents of stool and urine and other impure substances on the arena of sacrifice. After this onslaught, the demon himself appeared with a great trident in his hand. He was a gigantic person, and his black body was like a huge mass of carbon. His hair, his beard, and his mustache appeared reddish, like copper, and because of his great beard and mustache, his mouth appeared dangerous and fierce. As soon as he saw the demon, Lord Balaram prepared to attack him. He first considered how he could smash the great demon to pieces. Lord Balaram then called for his plow and club, and they immediately appeared before him. The demon Balbal was flying in the sky, and at the first opportunity, Lord Balaram dragged him down with his plow and angrily smashed the demon's head with his club. Balaram's striking fractured the demon's forehead, making blood flow profusely. Screaming loudly, the demon, who had been such a great disturbance to the pious Brahmins, fell to the ground like a great mountain, with a red oxide peak being struck and smashed to the ground by a thunderbolt. The inhabitants of Naimasharanya, learned sages and Brahmins, became most pleased by seeing this, and they offered their respectful prayers to Lord Balaram. They offered their heartfelt blessings to the Lord, and all agreed that Lord Balaram's attempt to do anything would never be a failure. The sages and Brahmins then performed a ceremonial bathing of Lord Balaram, just as the demigods bathe King Indra when he is victorious over the demons. The Brahmins and sages honored Lord Balaram by presenting him first-class new clothing and ornaments and the lotus garland of victory, the reservoir of all beauty, which was never to be dried up, being everlasting in existence. After this incident, Lord Balaram took permission from the Brahmins assembled at Naimasharanya and, accompanied by other Brahmins, went to the bank of the river Kaushiki. After taking his bath in this holy place, he proceeded toward the river Sarayu and visited the source of the river. Traveling on the bank of the Sarayu River, he gradually reached Prayag, where there is a confluence of three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. Here also he regularly took his bath, worshipped the local temples of God, and, as enjoined in the Vedic literature, offered oblations to the forefathers and sages. He gradually reached the ashram of the sage Pulaha, and from there went to Gandaki on the river Gomati. After this, he took his bath in the river Vipasha. Then he gradually came to the bank of the Shon River. The Shon River is still running as one of the big rivers in the Bihar province. He also took his bath there and performed the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. He continued his travels and gradually came to the pilgrimage city of Gaya, where there is a celebrated Vishnu temple. According to the advice of his father, Vasudev, he offered oblations to the forefathers in this Vishnu temple. From here, he traveled to the delta of the Ganges, where the sacred river Ganges mixes with the Bay of Bengal. This sacred place is called Ganga Sagara, and at the end of January every year, there is still a great assembly of saintly persons and pious men, just as there is an assembly of saintly persons in Prayag every year called the Magh Mela Fair. After finishing his bathing and ritualistic ceremonies at Ganga Sagara, Lord Balaram proceeded toward the mountain known as Mahendra Parvat, where he met Parasuram, the incarnation of Lord Krishna, and offered him respect by bowing down before him. After this, he gradually turned toward southern India and visited the banks of the river Godavari. After taking his bath in the river Godavari and performing the necessary ritualistic ceremonies, he gradually visited the other rivers, the Vena, Pampa, and Bhimarati. On the bank of the river Bhimarati is the deity called Swami Kartikeya. After visiting Kartikeya, Lord Balaram gradually proceeded to Shailapur, a pilgrimage city in the province of Maharashtra. Shailapur is one of the biggest districts in Maharashtra province. He then gradually proceeded towards the Dravida Desh. Southern India is divided into five parts called Pancha Dravid. Northern India is also divided into five parts called Pancha Gaud. All the important acharyas of the modern age, namely Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarka, advented themselves in these Dravid provinces. Lord Chaitanya, however, appeared in Bengal, which is part of the five Gauda Deshas. The most important place of pilgrimage in southern India, or Dravid, is Venkatachal, commonly known as Balaji. After visiting this place, Lord Balaram proceeded toward Vishnu Kanchi, and from there he proceeded on the bank of the Kaveri. He took his bath in the river Kaveri. Then he gradually reached Rangakshetra. The biggest temple in the world is in Rangakshetra, and the Vishnu deity there is celebrated as Ranganath. A similar temple of Ranganath is in Vrindavan, although it is not as big as the temple of Rangakshetra. While going to Vishnu Kanchi, Lord Balaram also visited Shiva Kanchi. After visiting Rangakshetra, he gradually proceeded toward Mathura, commonly known as the Mathura of southern India. After visiting this place, he gradually proceeded toward Setu Bandha, the place where Lord Ramachandra constructed the stone bridge from India to Lanka. In this particularly holy place, Lord Balaram distributed 10,000 cows to the local Brahmin priests. It is the Vedic custom that when a rich visitor goes to any place of pilgrimage, he gives the local priests horses, cows, ornaments, and garments as gifts of charity. This system of visiting places of pilgrimage and providing the local Brahmin priests with all necessities of life has greatly deteriorated in this age of Kali. The richer section of the population, because of its degradation in Vedic culture, is no longer attracted by these places of pilgrimage, and the Brahmin priests, who depended on such visitors, have also deteriorated in their professional duty of helping the visitors. These Brahmin priests in the places of pilgrimage are called Panda or Pandit. This means that they were formerly very learned Brahmins and used to guide the visitors in all details of the purpose of coming there, and thus both the visitors and the priests benefited by mutual cooperation. It is clear from the description of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Balaram was visiting the different places of pilgrimage, he properly followed the Vedic system. After distributing cows at Setu Banda, Lord Balaram proceeded toward the Quitamala and Tamraparni rivers. These two rivers are celebrated as sacred, and Lord Balaram bathed in both of them. He then proceeded toward Malaya Hill. This Malaya Hill is very great, and it is said to be one of seven peaks called the Malaya Hills. The great sage Agastya used to live there, and Lord Balaram visited him and offered his respects by bowing down before him. After taking the sage's blessings, Lord Balaram, with the sage's permission, proceeded toward the Indian Ocean. At the point of the cape is a big temple of the goddess Durga, where she is known as Kanyakumari. This temple of Kanyakumari was also visited by Lord Ramachandra, and therefore it is to be understood that the temple has been existing for millions of years. From there, Lord Balaram went on to visit the pilgrimage city known as Falguna Tirtha, which is on the shore of the Indian Ocean or the Southern Ocean. Falguna Tirtha is celebrated because Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation of Ananta, is lying there. From Falguna Tirtha, Lord Balaram went on to visit another pilgrimage spot known as Panchap Saras. There also he bathed according to the regulative principles and observed the ritualistic ceremonies. This site is also celebrated as a shrine of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Balaram distributed 10,000 cows to the local Brahmin priests. From Cape Comorin, Lord Balaram turned toward Kerala. The country of Kerala is still existing in southern India under the name of South Kerala. After visiting this place, he came to Gokarna Tirtha, where Lord Shiva is constantly worshipped. Balaram then visited the temple of Arya Devi, which is completely surrounded by water. From that island, he went on to a place known as Shuparak. After this, he bathed in the rivers known as Tapi, Payasni, and Nivindya, and he came to the forest known as Dandakaranya. This is the same Dandakaranya forest where Lord Ramachandra lived while in exile. Lord Balaram next came to the bank of the river Narmada, the biggest river in central India. On the bank of this sacred Narmada is a pilgrimage spot known as Mahishmati Puri. After bathing there, according to regulative principles, Lord Balaram returned to Prabhasa Tirtha, wherefrom he had begun his journey. When Lord Balaram returned to Prabhasa Tirtha, he heard from the Brahmins that most of the Kshatriyas in the Battle of Kurukshetra had been killed. Balaram felt relieved to hear that the burden of the world had been reduced. Lord Krishna and Balaram appeared on this earth to lessen the burden of military strength created by the ambitious Kshatriya kings. This is the way of materialistic life. Not being satisfied by the absolute necessities of life, people ambitiously create extra demands, and their illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature or by the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes. Lord Balaram heard that although most of the Kshatriyas had been killed, the Kurus were still engaged in fighting. Therefore, he returned to the battlefield just on the day Bhimasen and Duryodhan were engaged in a personal duel. As well-wisher of both of them, Lord Balaram wanted to stop them, but they would not stop. When Lord Balaram appeared on the scene, King Yudhishthir and his young brothers, Nakul and Sahadev, as well as Lord Krishna and Arjun, immediately offered him their respectful obeisances, but they did not speak at all. The reason they were silent was that Lord Balaram was somewhat affectionate toward Duryodhan, who had learned from Balaramji the art of fighting with a club. When the fighting was going on, King Yudhishthir and others thought that Balaram might have come there to say something in favor of Duryodhan, and they therefore remained silent. Both Duryodhan and Bhimasen were very enthusiastic in fighting with clubs, and in the midst of large audiences, each very skillfully tried to strike the other. While attempting to do so, they appeared to be dancing, but nonetheless, it was clear that both of them were very angry. Lord Balaram, wanting to stop the fighting, said, "My dear King Duryodhan and Bhimasen, I know that both of you are great fighters and are well known in the world as great heroes, but still I think that Bhimasen is superior to Duryodhan in bodily strength. On the other hand, Duryodhan is superior in the art of fighting with a club. Taking this into consideration, my opinion is that neither of you is inferior to the other in fighting. Under the circumstances, there is very little chance that one of you will be defeated by the other. Therefore, I request you not to waste your time fighting in this way. I wish you to stop this unnecessary fight." The good instruction given by Lord Balaram to both Bhimasen and Duryodhan was intended for the equal benefit of both of them. But they were so enwrapped in anger against each other that they could remember only their long-lasting personal enmity. Each thought only of killing the other, and they did not give much importance to the instruction of Lord Balaram. Both of them then became like madmen in remembering the strong accusations and ill behavior they had exchanged with one another. Lord Balaram, being able to understand the destiny awaiting them, was not eager to go further in the matter. Therefore, instead of staying, he decided to return to the city of Dvarka. When he returned to Dvarka, he was received with great jubilation by relatives and friends, headed by King Ugrasen and other elderly persons, who all came forward to welcome him. After this, he again went to the holy place of pilgrimage at Naimasharanya, and the sages, saintly persons, and Brahmins all received him standing. They understood that Lord Balaram, although a Kshatriya, was now retired from the fighting business. The Brahmins and sages, who are always for peace and tranquility, were very pleased at this. All of them embraced Balaram with great affection and induced him to perform various kinds of sacrifices in that sacred spot of Naimasharanya. Actually, Lord Balaram had no business performing the sacrifices recommended for ordinary human beings. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he himself is the enjoyer of all such sacrifices. As such, his exemplary action in performing sacrifices was only to give a lesson to the common man to show how one should abide by the injunctions of the Vedas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, instructed the sages and saintly persons at Naimasharanya on the subject matter of the living entity's relationship with this cosmic manifestation, on how one should accept this whole universe, and on how one should relate with the cosmos in order to achieve the highest goal of perfection, the understanding that the whole cosmic manifestation rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also all-pervading, even within the minutest atom, by the function of his Paramatma feature. Lord Balaram then took the Avrabhrita bath, which is accepted after finishing sacrificial performances. After taking his bath, he dressed himself in new silken garments and decorated himself with beautiful jewelry amidst his relatives and friends. He appeared to be a shining full moon amidst the luminaries in the sky. Lord Balaram is the personality of Godhead, Ananta himself. Therefore, he is beyond the scope of understanding by mind, intelligence, or body. He descended exactly like a human being and behaved in that way for his own purpose. We can only explain his activities as the Lord's pastimes. No one can even estimate the extent of the unlimited demonstrations of his pastimes, because he is all-powerful. Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus his life will be successful in all respects. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 10th chapter of Krishna, The Liberation of Balbal and Lord Balaram's Touring the Sacred Places.